Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
Welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. It is Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. Brad, I was afraid that they changed the locks on us here at the studio. It's been so long since we've been in here.
It's good to be back. After our midsummer break, that wasn't a break.
That's for sure.
We were off doing Michigan Paranormal Convention, which for those of you that aren't aware, Tim and I, Creaking Door, we kind of set up, run, and oversee that show. So it really takes most of the month out of us.
It does, and that's kind of what happened. And I know the last show we did, we were saying we were hoping to get back into the studio one more time before Paracon.
It just couldn't happen. It could not happen. We had so many ifs, ands, buts, and things that happened with the show this year. But, man, what a great year.
It really was, and just an absolute blast. And we always say, once MI Paracon is done, it makes you realize why we work a whole year for one event. You realize how good it was to see everyone together again. The friends we're making, the new friends, the old friends, it's just once the weekend comes together, it's all worth it.
Right. And it was a blast this year. We had our biggest crowd yet, which it keeps growing, keeps growing. Next year, we already have well over 100 seats sold for next year's event.
Yes, which, by the way, is obviously August, already on the books.
Yeah, late in August. And we already have Grant Wilson coming back, Nick Groff and Katrina Weedman. They will be on the docket next year, as well as Jeff Mudgett from American Ripper. That show went over huge.
Oh, I loved it.
So we've got them signed already. We're taking a break now.
Yes.
Officially taking a break. Next month, we will get back to signing some more names. And the end of October, right around Halloween, we will be announcing the initial lineup.
You're right.
You know, we add right through the year. But, man, what a great time it was. And always, as you say, so good to see so many people having such a great time.
Yep.
And that's really what keeps us rolling on it.
It really is. We love it and love getting together with everyone. August 23rd, 24th, and 25th of 2018 is when it'll be. So,
Yeah,
what's so cool about it is heading into our ninth year now, everyone just talks about it. It really has become like a family reunion.
Right.
And that's what's so special about it. So if you have not joined us at MI Paracon yet, put it on your calendar. For the last weekend there of August, we would love to see you, love to have you join us, and let it be your first time.
Yeah, it was a great year. Then 2 weeks after that, I was on the road to Kentucky hitting the first annual CryptidCon.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that in the end of the show a little bit, but another great event. If you're more into the Bigfoot side of things and just as a creepy creature, this was great. It was in Frankfort, Kentucky. This was the first year it was held, and man, what a blast. I had a great time there as well, and just so much travel going on this time of year. We'll chat a little bit about that a little bit later on.
More travel coming up.
Right now, how about let's hop right into the show and get into a little segment we like to call Para News.
Let's do it. And since the last time we were in the studio, Brad, a lot of things have been going on with Mother Nature. She seems very angry right now. First of all, we had that pretty cool solar eclipse here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We didn't get to see the full effects, but it was still pretty cool that day.
I tried not to stare too long.
Well, you're still wearing sunglasses.
No.
Yeah.
Well, is that what son of a...
See, it's all right. It's all right. Your eyesight will come back. I told you. I warned you. All right.
I thought you were just kidding.
So we had the solar eclipse, and then we also, of course, have had the hurricanes, and our thoughts and our prayers with everyone, you know, devastated in the Texas area and in the Florida area, for sure. But it's really brought out a lot of people, and you see this a lot, and when you had two big ones back-to-back, it brings out the end of the world, folks.
Doesn't it always?
It does. My question to those who believe that those two big hurricanes is a sign of the end of the world is, why is it only the Southerners who get hit with the end of the world storms? Nothing ever happens to us up here.
Well, occasionally we'll get 5-6 feet of snow overnight.
Yeah, some might think that's the end of the world.
But that's the occasion where the news media does not want to show up and record it.
That's
so
just it.
We're left out of that.
And it doesn't get covered. But I always say when people say that, it's like, look, there's storms in the south. There's storms in the north. You don't hear about it up here. Trust me, it's not the end of the world, my friends. But there is a group out there that believes that the solar eclipse and Harvey were stated in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Christian numerologists claim that the Bible numbers match August 21st, the date of the Great American Solar Eclipse, August 25th, when Hurricane Harvey hit, and August 26th, when it flooded Texas. So if you take those three numbers, 21, 25, and 26, they say that the end of the world will be September 23rd.
Of this year?
Apparently.
That's this week, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's coming up. So, it's been a fun ride, dude.
Hey, we might as well just call it now. And
it says, one Bible quote currently making the rounds as evidence is Luke 21, 25 through 26. And again, those are the numbers. 21, which is August 21st, 25th, and 26th of August. And it says, 25... quote, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then 26 says, quote, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it goes how they're tying that into September 23rd, I'm not sure, but they're saying that Luke 21, 25 through 26 coincides with the day of the eclipse, the day of Harvey starting, and the day of Harvey flooding Texas. And somehow that equals to these folks that the end of the world is coming September 23rd.
Outstanding.
So take your money out, spend it all.
Maybe a little extra flooding down through Texas through that area. We could even see more Loch Ness monster sightings.
Well, there you go.
Hey, because we are on a roll right now that it could be a record year for Nessie.
Really?
We are, which is funny because I can remember back in early spring, there was a big uproar that Nessie hadn't been sighted in quite a while.
Right, and to
and
me,
the people of Scotland were really worried about that.
Well, obviously, it's because Nessie's been elsewhere.
Well, apparently. Mm-hmm. She's got more sea to go through now.
That's
so
right.
Yeah, sightings of the Loch Ness Monster set to have a bumper season after the sixth report was filed this August. Hmm. The beast was spotted from Doras near Inverness Highland when a tourist from England noticed something huge in the water. According to the sightings register, the man was with three friends at the Dory's Inn when they spotted the creature. The register stated, Mr. Stuperich and three friends were out walking from the Dory's Inn to Tor Point. As they came to the shore of the point, All four saw something huge in the water. They said it was an unusual shape. It arched out of the water, then turned and went down under. The sighting took place at 3:41 p.m. and lasted for about 10 seconds. The sighting on the 22nd of August came after another appearance from Nessie on the live Loch Ness webcam.
Oh.
I remember talking about this before, too. You can watch 24/7 different points in Loch Ness. So this was from a woman in Canada who was keeping a close eye on the live streaming last month when she spotted something in the loch. The sighting register stated Paula from Canada took a video from the Loch Ness webcam at 7 p.m. It shows an unknown object moving slowly north on the loch near Urquhart Castle. Wow, on the 22nd of June, the register noted Mr. Jackson and his wife, visiting from Australia, snapped something in the loch 4 miles south of Urquhart Castle. At 5:18 p.m. in the afternoon, the sighting lasted for about 5 minutes, which seems pretty significant if you're watching something in the water play for that long. Another sighting registered by Paula from Canada was on the 12th of June, again from the live webcam. The report read, Paula from Canada took a five-minute video, another five-minute episode with Nessie, from the Loch Ness webcam at 11:20 a.m. It shows an unknown object moving slowly down the middle of the loch towards Fort Augustus. This was similar to the further recording that she took on the 26th of June above. In 2016, there were a record 7 sightings of the monster. Well, Nessie had a quiet 2015, only appearing 5 times. So the average sightings for a reported year, it turns out, are about 6 per year. So we're hitting that right now with a few more months left to go in the year. So it's kind of cool to see where we're going from people being worried of Nessie disappearing to them to actually possibly having a record year of Nessie sightings.
And again, could be to the fact that, I mean, we know here in the Great Lakes, our water levels are at record highs.
They are.
So
they
Nessie's
are.
Just got a bigger playground right now.
She does.
Yes.
God,
all right.
Love her.
My second story here for Paranews is going to be something that just creeps me out to no end. Haunted dolls. Of course, the whole Annabelle series is huge right now, and that's just kind of making the whole haunted doll thing very popular. And we've also kind of joked around and talked about, too, Brad, how a lot of people are always selling haunted items on eBay.
Right.
Just go buy a haunted item.
I think that's kind of peaked and went down a little bit because it got so exploited for such a long time.
Right. But at least here with this story, it's grabbing headlines again because apparently a possessed doll sold on eBay for a mere $1,100 reportedly attacked its new owner after reports of it attacking the previous owner.
I would think that would run the value up.
Oh, I would think so, too. So a woman named Debbie owned this doll called Samantha. Now, here's a picture of it, and we'll put this up on our Facebook page. It's side by side with, of course, the Hollywood version of Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually find the Samantha doll, which is like a porcelain wedding doll, to be creepier than Annabelle. Annabelle's created to be creepy.
I think most porcelain dolls are creepy.
Yes, because they kind of have that white dead look, that face that's
they
just smooth.
Corpse-like.
Yes. Well, the doll had allegedly attacked Debbie's husband in his sleep. It sets off fire alarms in the home and would reportedly even remove her own necklace that the doll wore.
Nice.
Yeah, so the attacks on the husband left scratches on him, and finally she said enough is enough. So what do you do? Well, apparently she didn't want to call John Zaffis or bury it correctly. She put it on eBay to sell it.
Of course.
Yeah. And after listing the doll on eBay, there ended up being a bidding war between two people who were obsessed with ghosts and the occult. And after an intense battle of the wallets, the doll ended up selling for $1,100 to a paranormal investigator living in the UK.
Hmm.
So, after the doll moved to the new location, it wasn't long that Samantha was up to her old ways again. Lee Steer is the one who bought it, told the media that his father was downstairs while the doll was still packed upstairs and heard a noise coming from the box. He describes it as a tapping noise. Lee's father, Paul, has also been a victim of the alleged attacks from the doll, leaving marks on his skin very similar to the father who had the attacks before.
Wow.
So
this is interesting. I just spoke with Greg and Dana Newkirk from the Museum of the Paranormal and Occult a couple weeks back at Crypticon here, and we were kind of BSing, and this came up about how many people nowadays that they're gaining popularity with the museum are calling them, trying to sell them purportedly haunted objects.
Are people actually asking them to buy them?
Yes, they are.
Really?
And trying vice versa, trying to buy some of the objects off of them.
Okay.
So, yeah, this is interesting to look at the trade in paranormal memorabilia,
right,
so to speak.
Kind of becoming trading cards of the paranormal.
It kind of is. Well, good news, Tim.
Yes?
The nation's endless search for proof of Bigfoot's existence may soon come to an end.
Yay.
Yeah. North Carolina-based wife and mother has homebrewed a spray that she says can attract any Bigfoot within a mile and a half radius.
Yes.
And for just $7 a bottle, the environmentally friendly Bigfoot juice also doubles as a bug
that just
spray.
Sounds nasty.
Bigfoot juice / bug spray. Creator Allie Megan Webb, who runs Happy Body Care out of Marion, North Carolina, has created it while sitting at her kitchen table.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know it works? Webb asked, kind of laughingly. Well, that's a tough question. I guess I could ask, how do you know it doesn't work?
That's true.
Dun, dun, dun.
Turn the tables.
There's anecdotal proof her spray does, in fact, attract Bigfoot. Field tests have been done, she said, and they include a recent outing by the research group Bigfoot 911, in which a Bigfoot sighting was reported. It happened the first week of August in the woods of McDowell County. I think that's enough to say it can attract a Bigfoot, says Webb. Okay. To attract a Bigfoot, you need a smell that is woodsy enough to keep him from scaring off.
Woodsy.
Woodsy enough.
Yes.
Yes. But slightly different enough to make him curious and come to investigate. So piquing Bigfoot's curiosity. Market reaction to the spray, which is sold on the internet, has ranged from excitement to giggles. This includes a guy named Jeffrey in Hawaii who wanted to know if she makes a troll repellent.
A troll repellent?
A troll repellent. So
better talk to our boy John Tenney on that one. Yes.
There you go. So, yes, you for $7 can get a Bigfoot spray / bug repellent.
And maybe cologne.
Possibly.
All right.
Possibly, if you like that woodsy smell on your man.
Is it for...
This would be a perfect stocking stuffer for women to grab.
Yes, it would. That woodsy smell of Bigfoot juice.
Bigfoot juice.
Was there a place to buy it? I actually want it for $7. I'd go buy it just to say I bought it.
I can't say that there was, but I'm sure if you Googled Bigfoot juice.
You better get this
North
in one
Carolina,
of your gift shops here in town.
You know what?
You need to get that. You really do.
I could probably sell the hell out of it if you want to know the truth, especially at, all joking aside, Christmas time.
Yes.
The Bigfoot and paranormal stuff blows out.
There you go.
Awesome.
Bigfoot juice coming to a store near you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. There we go. That's going to do for another edition of Paranews. And now it's time to take a break. When we come back, very excited for this week's guest inside the creaking door. Who is it?
Well,
stick around, you'll find out. They're up next right here. It's Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by slackjawpunks.com. Your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, slackjawpunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
Slackjawpunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***? Inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair. And Brad, very excited to have this dynamic duo, if you will, back inside the Creaking Door with us. It's been a while since we've had a chance to chat with them, but we just had a chance to spend a weekend with them not too long ago at MI Paracon. We're going to see them very shortly on Mackinac Island as well. So right now, let's give a warm round of applause and welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio from the hit TV show Kindred Spirits on TLC, Amy Bruni and Adam Baer. Mary. Welcome back inside, you two.
Oh, you should.
Hey, thank you.
We pay the family in six packs of beer to clap when we need them, so it works out well.
That's amazing. They have definitely got a good deal going on.
Yes, they do. We just got to get them to, was that? Did you guys hear that? Did that blow your drums out? It got mine. A little feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's still on the line, though, so we're good. Okay. It must have just been on our end.
Good deal.
Anyways, so the spirits are already talking with us and messing with us, so let's get right to it. So here we are, coming out of episode one of season two from the Lizzie Borden house. Too dang cool. How fun was that to record that episode?
It was so fun because, number one, it was only 10 minutes away from my house, and so I didn't have to go anywhere. But number two, Lizzie Borden house is awesome. It is a place we've investigated many times. We know it's haunted, but it was nice to be able to go in and kind of have a different spin on things and help one of the tour guides, you know, because we've always wondered what happened to these people that work in these notoriously haunted locations. You know, are there any side effects from that? Does anything follow them home? Does anything start reaching out to them? And maybe that is true, you know, after we've dealt with Sue and her problems.
Yeah, and it was interesting because you were not looking for the Borden family when you went in on this investigation.
Oh, no, not at all. No. I mean, I think the consensus is the Bordens exist there, possibly. I mean, a lot of teams have gone there and talked to the Bordens and tried to get the Bordens' attention. But, we definitely were not there for them because they, we were there for Sue, and we were there for Sue's grandparents.
Mm-hmm. So, and of course, in this episode, too, to kick off the season, you bring in the incomparable Mr. Chip Coffey. So that's not the first time you guys have worked together, though. You've worked with him a couple times already on this series.
Yeah, you know, Chip is one of those psychics that we trust. You know, I know Adam as well, but, like, I've worked with Chip for over 10 years now, and he's just always been on the level with me, and he has given me personal readings that have blown me away. And so, you know, you have to have that trust when you're kind of handing one of your clients over to someone. Mm-hmm. And so, we knew we had to call in someone that we could, you know, entrust with the idea that, like, hey, we're bringing you to the Lizzie Borden house, you know, but we didn't tell him the story. We didn't tell him what we were doing there. Like, when Chip came in, he thought he was just investigating the Lizzie Borden house. We didn't tell him anything about Sue or what the whole aspect of the case was.
Yeah, I love that.
And so, yeah, that just kind of shows you how kind of spot on his capabilities can be.
Well, yeah, because when Chip sat down at the table with you guys and with Sue, he got really deep with her, and it got quite emotional there at the end of the show.
We had no idea that was coming. When she tells us that her father was on hospice, all three of us were in genuine shock because we had been spending quite a bit of time with her, and this was something that she just did not mention to us. She didn't have to mention to us. It never came up, I guess. But, I mean, we were shocked by it. We were shocked by that news when she, you know, gave that information, and it became clear soon after that was the case. I mean, that was the reason they were there.
And that's what I love about it, the post-production of the show. There's just so much that you get a real feeling from kindred spirits. And you saw that in that part of the show. And I think that's what makes your show along. And we've talked about this last time you guys were on the show. One of the things that I really respect what you guys are doing is the lighting of the show as well, too. It's not the usual green, you know, night vision. It's you guys use the underlit version of it. And it gives it that more real feeling.
Yeah, well, it's hard to make a cinematic reality show because, you know, obviously you want it to be real, but in order for a show to be real, you can't necessarily stage every single shot and everything. And so we have such a great crew, though, that they're kind of able to do that. They get the important stuff, and they, you know, they make sure we're well lit, like as much as you can. We're doing the investigation, the interviews and everything. But then they do spend the time in between to go, like, okay, we want to get this, like, great shot of you guys sitting at the table, or we want to get this amazing shot of Chip Coffey walking up with his umbrella, you know, and it adds to kind of the feel of the episode, and it feels like you're watching a movie, but everything is totally legit and on the level, which you don't get beautiful reality shows that often. And so that was a huge part in our decision when we decided not to use IR light.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And in the cases you guys take on the show, it kind of harkens back to the original days of paranormal reality with the original couple series of Ghost Hunters, where they were actually going in, working with homeowners and trying to help people versus going into a commercial place, being in and out in a night.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best part about this show is that we are there to solve a problem. And I think, you know, when we were on Ghost Hunters, don't get me wrong, we had a great time going into, you know, amazingly haunted historic places and verifying whether or not the ghosts were active and they were there and we had evidence to show. But Amy and I wanted to do more. I mean, we felt that there was more there. Like, why are they there? What is their purpose? Is, you know, there's got to be a reason why they're hanging around. And I think for us, Kindred Spirits was the best way to kind of show the world how an investigation works on multiple days and how, you know, you can do more than just verify a haunting. You can actually help people and help the spirits. And it is much more rewarding, I have to say, and now doing it the way we're doing it now, of course.
Well, and, you know, and that's a great point. And that's, I think, why it's so important when Kindred Spirits came along, because and just like you said, Adam, I mean, when our team over the years have done investigations, we have the two types that we call the personal haunts and the historical haunts. The historical haunts for us are fun. That's when we get to go into these great historical locations and try to, you know, communicate with the reported haunting there. When you go into a personal haunting, though, you're dealing with people's lives. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with their home. And we've all heard the horror stories of these teams that are going into people's homes and telling them it's possessed by three demons and you've got to get out, you know, tomorrow. And I think what Kindred Spirits is doing is reteaching the young people out there who are interested in this field that this is how you have to handle these things.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That was kind of one of our missions. And it's been, I mean, even back in the Ghost Hunters days, it was kind of one of our missions. We were just so, and, you know, it's so easy to watch a paranormal team on television and then feel like you know what you're doing. And I don't, like, necessarily fault these teams, but I think that they need to kind of look at the long-term picture here at what they're doing. You know, there's a lot of studying and research and reading and things that you just need to kind of know before you go into these places. And it's tough because we have to do cleanup on a lot of, I would say, I think there were three cases this season that we did that were all cleanup from one team in New England.
Oh,
three out of our 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And the same team
insane.
Came into every single one of these houses.
Oh, wow.
And told, like, the evidence that they gave these people was astonishing. I mean, the fact that they even considered it evidence was just, like, awful.
Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking,
so
really.
It was, yeah, it was. It was. And so we had to come in and, you know, tell, kind of educate these people on what was actually going on in their house, and then kind of gently tell them that this team that had come in before had given them misinformation. But you have to do it in this way where you're not necessarily bashing them, but it's so hard because there's no perfect way to investigate, but there's definitely a very wrong way to do it.
You bet. Right.
I'm sure, you know, we have no reason to believe that they had no ill intentions giving the information that they did. They, you know, but based on what we saw and what we know, they're a little uneducated about certain things. And it's heartbreaking, especially for, the spirits, because really you've done them a disservice as well. And I think it's cleanup on both sides. Or what about the case? There's a case, I think, coming up soon where, you know, maybe people that are in the house or know the person that lives in this house for the activity has seen a bunch of things on television, seeing people ghost hunting on television, and start mimicking those aspects without knowing anything else other than what they see on television, and really wreaking havoc. I mean, there's that potential as well. It's just like copycatting what you see without knowing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
We definitely hit that a few times.
I think, unfortunately, that's where a lot of these paranormal teams that have sprung up in the last 10, 15 years have learned all of their technique from watching television shows. And that's where this starts playing into it. How about the other side of things where you go into a case, and I don't know if you hit this as much when you're doing the recording, but find a homeowner that calls you in and you can find logical reasons for the haunting. Have you dealt with a backlash of the don't take away my ghost mentality?
I would say not necessarily on kindred spirits as much, because these families are typically very desperate when we come to them. And so they're just like, they want answers. They're not necessarily happy about what's there, or they think it's somebody that they love and they really want to know yes or no on that. We do have one case where I don't know, we still don't know how it's going to play out. But it sounds as though the person is not taking any of our advice. And so that one's a little tough. And I think it is a little bit because of that. I think that they're thinking of the TV aspect a little bit now. And so I'll let you guys try to figure out which case that is when it airs. But we have very specific instructions for these people that are pretty, it's a pretty obvious set of instructions, and they've just decided not to do it. And we're like, it seems, you know, but we'll see. We it's not definite yet, but. But we also get that, though, like in photos and everything. Like, I can tell you on Twitter tonight, this woman sent me a photo. It's clearly somebody, like, you can look on my Twitter. It's somebody sitting behind her in a theater, and they have their phone on, so it's illuminating their face white, and they're sitting way in the back. And I told this woman, and she's like, who's this person? I'm like, oh, it's somebody on their phone in the background, and it's illuminating their face. And she's like, well, I don't remember anybody sitting there. And I'm like, really? You saw a movie a few nights ago, and you don't remember that there was, I mean, who pays attention to who's sitting in a movie?
In a dark theater, yeah.
But we do get that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we get stuff like that.
Yeah, the EVPs and the photos, people get very personal about those. They want to believe they got something. And when you try to give them an explanation, they get very defensive sometimes. And as long as we're going down this road right now and talking about why I think, you know, we think kindred spirits is so good for the field right now, because you are showing people how to handle families. And you guys did a few days ago, too. You also did a live you were taking questions and doing a live feed of it, and it was really well produced. I was watching it on Facebook there, and one of the things, Adam, you guys both touched on it, but I was laughing at Adam's response. It was about
of course. What did I say? Oh my god, I'm scared now.
It wasn't bad. It was actually very real. Part of the process before you walk into a home, obviously you guys need to really do this because you're bringing a whole TV show in, but even on our level and the level of when you guys are not with the TV show, you have to pre-interview these families. You have to vet the families. You have to make sure that when you're walking into the home, you've got people who are being honest with you and who are legit. And I think you just said you got to make sure the people aren't crazy. But it's true. I mean, you've got to make sure these are honest people who are not seeking 15 minutes of fame. So let's touch on that a little bit and talk about the process that you guys have to go through for that.
Like I said in the Q&A, I mean, I think the basic fact is people reach out to us to help them, and we first, you know, go through the tons and tons of emails and messages, reading about what people say is happening in their house. And you can tell the ones that really need help and that are really sincere. I mean, it hits you at your core. You read it, and there's something that kind of hits your, you just read it. You just know. I mean, it's weird because, you know, you get the ones that are like, okay, the door opens on its own and we hear strange noises in the attic, you know, and then you get the ones that are like, I've been dealing with this for 10 years. Multiple people have the activity. Or my favorites are, my friend's house has this activity and they told me, I'm reaching out to them. They don't know who you are. They know nothing about your show. They don't know anything and they really need help.
Right.
I mean, those are the ones we know, you know, they're not going to be in it for television. They sincerely need help.
Yep.
And we send all of these messages to our production company, and then they contact them. They go through background checks. They find out more about them. They interview everyone that's had activity. We get pictures of the house. And we're included in all of this data that they're receiving from the family as well, because our investigation begins as soon as we send that email to the production company. Because we want to know everything that they're saying, what they're talking about, what they think it is, and then we interview them on the phone. And then once
that happens, we decide yes or no whether or not we're going to go. And then we hit the ground running. And then when we get there, again, it's square one. It's, we know what they've told us on the phone, so let's see it in person and let's try to figure out what it is.
Right. Yeah, and you're right, too, especially when in your case for the TV show, but in cases where it's not in the neighborhood, it's not within a quick drive, you've got to trust them through phone calls and through emails, too. So it really becomes a trust factor when you're dealing, again, with families and homes and people's lives. It comes down to making sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, and I want to add, I mean, there are a lot of the times, and I don't know, Amy, if this is for you, because Amy and I, well, like, I will talk to a family member. And then Amy will talk to the next case. Like, we trade off for each other. But there was a couple of times that I would talk to these people, and they would explain to me what's happening. And they were this particular couple was extremely enthusiastic. They would say what was happening. They'd finish each other's sentences. It was clear and apparent that whatever's happening was like running their lives, and these experiences were truthful and happening. And then I would sort of give a little feedback about what my thoughts would be on it at the time, and they would immediately say something like, oh my God, I never thought of it that way, or, oh, you really know what you're talking about, or you believe what we're saying, and they're shocked by it almost. And then they realize that we're not doing it for television. We are actually doing this for you to help you.
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of our families, I've noticed, show up on the internet, on our Facebooks and stuff. The second somebody starts to say, you know, oh, the show's fake, they're like, no, they came to my house and it's all totally legit. It's my, like, they are all like passionately coming to our defense.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that they feel compelled to do that, even though we haven't been there in over a year or whatever, or even people we've helped this season, they're just so adamant, like, and passionate about what we did for them that they still are just like scouring Facebook threads, ready to like jump in for us, which I love.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you find to be the biggest difference going in and filming season two of Kindred Spirits versus your first season on this? Is there anything big in the way of differences that we can look for in this season? Or are you concentrating on something more than others?
I think that the big thing is, you know, the network has a lot more faith in us now, you know, so last season it was, you know, the budget was, it was a bare budget. And this season, you know, we got a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit more budget-wise. We were able to kind of upgrade a lot of our equipment. We had an extra camera operator. And so I think you can really see that in the production value of the show, and then plus the equipment that we're using. And so I think those are probably the big differences. I mean, it's the same old us, but, but, you know, we just look a lot prettier.
So also, I think, and I'll also say, investigation-wise, I mean, you know, we still never know what we're going to get ourselves into, but I think we were a little more confident going into season two, because we sort of have the routine down, although the routine always takes a different course, it seems. But we, you know, we felt confident in that, right? But we felt confident in that. But we also still have those late night wine down sessions, we like to call, have a glass of wine and really try to discuss. We continue to discuss the case, and we continue to search the internet and look for clues, and like, it's still as stressful as ever, I would say.
And so when you guys are, Amy, when I was talking to you last week, we were setting the interview up, you had made a comment to me, make sure you watch, you're going to love it, I just saw the ending of it, or something along those lines. So do you guys literally just get to see sneak peeks of this just before we see them on TV, or do you get a pre-screening?
Oh, we get many edits of the show. They send us a rough cut right away when they're done editing, and then we get, because we're executive producers, and so we go through and say, that's not how that happened per se, or, you know, we need to include that, so this makes sense. Like, we give all the notes, because we know, obviously, how the public can perceive it one way, but what's important for us is, you know, we need to maintain our integrity, not just to the general public, but especially to people in our field. And because, you know, once the cameras stop rolling, we still need to continue doing this. So we know what paranormal people are going to be looking for. And so we try to make sure all of those bases are covered in an episode. But then also, you know, we just want to make sure it's all legit and told correctly. And so we'll see 5 or 6 cuts, I would say, before it airs.
Wow.
I mean, well, I easily have watched it that many times. So, but the Lizzie Borden episode, I realized 3 days before I had not watched the final cut. I was like, wait a minute, I don't remember even watching the final of this. And so when I watched it all polished and clean, it was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a great premiere.
And it really was. It paid off. It was a lot of fun to watch. Can you give us a sneak peek at all? I know you can never say too much, but can you give us a sneak peek at all of any other locations coming up or some of the things you're going to be dealing with in this season 2?
Yes. I mean, let's talk about the next few episodes that are coming down the
Yes, let's.
The next two are awesome.
I mean, the next two episodes, I was sort of afraid when I saw what the next two episodes were, because I was like, holy crap. I was like, our best three episodes are going to go right out of the gate. What are we going to show for Halloween? And then Amy reminded me we had 7 other episodes that we could pick. But I think next week's episode is dealing with a executioner. It's like an executioner house is what they're calling it or something like that.
Nope.
It's terrifying, and it's... you know, we might get a little emotional. I don't know who, but there might be some. It's probably one of my most emotional cases yet.
Really?
Amy will tell you, I cry very rarely. I mean, I'm trying to stay as focused as possible, but I'm not going to say that I cry on this episode, per se, but it becomes really emotional, I think, at one point. And then what was the third one, Rooney? It was,
The third one is this woman and her kids. They live in it's this amazing old house in Massachusetts that was once the home of a famous author. And basically they find a bunch of her books like buried under the barn. And once they got those books out, weird stuff started happening in the house.
I'm already intrigued. Already intrigued. Yes.
Yeah. So it's, the great thing about New England is there's just, you know, awesome haunting
on every street
haunting.
Corner it seems like
the history
it, pretty much
yeah
pretty much
Wow. So as if you guys weren't busy enough with Kindred Spirits, let's talk Strange Escapes. What do you have coming up for us?
Ooh, well, we have Mackinac coming up in October. So we'll be
back to Mackinac Island.
I found my costume today, and I'm not telling anybody about it, not even Adam Berry.
Oh wow.
Yes, you are. Yes, you will tell me. Nope,
not telling
you. Get off this phone.
Nope. It's a 3 or 4 day event with us, and Grant Wilson will be there, and you guys will be there, and Andrea Perrin's joining us. I mean, it's basically just like a weekend of lectures and ghost hunting and Halloween party and ghost tours, and we go up to the fort. It's awesome.
It's the epitome of everything we love. For Halloween, it's the epitome of everything. I love that.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
Mackinac in the fall too is beautiful.
Yes,
but
yes, yes.
We're about to announce a Lizzie Borden event that'll be in January.
Nice.
So it'll be January 13th. I'll probably announce it in the next couple of days. It's gonna be very intimate. It's literally just Adam and me. So a very small amount of tickets sold. And we also have a cruise coming up next June, leaving from New Orleans, going to. A few places, but we're going to be stopping in Jamaica and going to Rose Hall, which will be a lot of fun.
Oh, boy.
And a lot more in the works, but those are the confirmed events.
Let me ask you, Amy, do you think, and I know this has came up, and I've seen it on social media back and forth, and a lot of people want to get back. Do you think you will ever get back into the Stanley Hotel?
I would love to. I can tell you that I probably talk to the Stanley every 3 or 4 months, and it's usually the business people because they so desperately want us to come back to the hotel. And but it's not. It's coming from above them. And unfortunately, it seems like someone got me confused with Amy Allen on Twitter. And she had said some things on Twitter, I guess, about the Stanley, and one of the owners thinks that was me, and no matter how many people tell him that it wasn't me, and but he's at that point, he's just not letting any paranormal events back at that hotel. And I love Amy, and but I think they did an event there, and something went sour, and but some things were said, and I'm like, but it wasn't me.
wait a minute, so you're trying to tell me someone took something on social media the wrong way? You're gotta be kidding me.
Oh my god.
Yes. I know
what world do you live in? That's just crazy talk.
I know. You know, though, but most of the time I'm very flattered to be confused with Amy Allen because she's a lovely person and she's very talented.
She is, yes.
She has an interesting vocabulary.
Yes. And that might be what happened here.
It could well be.
Very good. So are you guys going to give yourselves a little time off during the holidays? What will Amy Bruni and your family and Adam, what will you guys go do once the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas? I've always tried to keep my love of Halloween and the ghosts separate from at least that month span because I love the holidays and I try to keep them separated a little bit. Will you guys take a little break from the hauntings and just enjoy the holidays coming up?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I don't know either. Listen, you know, it filters back in always because, you know, Kindred Spirits airs until right before Thanksgiving. And then I think, you know, Amy and I will be spending the next month and a half twiddling our thumbs and hoping that we get renewed and trying to plan for, I guess, season three. And so, you know, we will probably have moments of relaxation and we will enjoy the holidays and see trees and go,
yeah.
You know,
we'll do
also,
that stuff. I mean,
yeah, you know, we'll also do everything.
Well, I mean, I always go to California for Thanksgiving, so I'll be there. And then for Christmas, New England at Christmas time is. New England during Halloween, which is amazing, and New England at Christmas is amazing. And so I always try to be here at that time. I'll be working in my office because, you know, Strange Escapes actually has an office, and I go there every day when Charlotte's at school. So I'll probably be there working, but yeah.
I just found out how you stump a ghost hunter, how you make them think. You ask them what they're doing outside of ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stumper. I get it. I get it. I've always said if I was ever going to leave the beautiful surroundings we have here in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, it would be the New England states. There's just something gorgeous about that
corner of the world. Yes, I think, we would welcome you with open arms.
I'd be that.
You and your lovely wife come over all the time for dinner.
I'd be that drunk guy that would never leave once he showed up.
The drunk uncle on the couch.
Exactly. Mom, Uncle Tim's farting again.
There's that. And hey, we have to thank you guys. You were gracious enough to leave us at Michigan Paracon with a handful of autographed Kindred Spirits posters, which we are going to announce the winners in our final segment tonight. So thank you. For all of you, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people that actually chimed in on this and shared the posts and that we have entered. Listen up. That's coming up after our next break. We will announce those of you who have won those posters.
And given to us by these fine folks with us right now.
That's
Amy
right.
Bruni and Adam Berry.
So this is your certificate of authenticity right here. They are confirming that they did give them to us. Tim and I did.
Yeah, it wasn't us signing them.
We didn't sit in the studio and autograph these.
These are real. So Amy and Adam, you two, thank you so much again for taking time out of your crazy busy schedules right now. We wish you the best in Season 2 in Kindred Spirits. We're enjoying it already. And we'll talk soon when we see you guys on the island, all right?
Right.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, there we go. Amy Bruni and Adam Berry from Kindred Spirits on TLC. Friday nights, check your local listings for time. And we're going to take a break when we come back. More on the way from Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com. Thank you. Nestled inside historic Old Village in Plymouth, Michigan, sits a beer lover's destination, Liberty Street Brewing Company. Since 2008, Liberty Street Brewing Company has been crafting delicious beer the right way, brewed in small amounts to ensure quality and maintain freshness. The moment you walk in, your experience is their number one concern. Caring staff, updated and changing list of delicious beer, and a short list of regular food are all waiting for you. Once you walk in, you won't want to leave. Or grab a growler of your favorite Liberty Street Brewing Company beer and head home to enjoy the latest episode of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Liberty Brewing Company in Plymouth, Michigan, giving you the freedom to choose a better beer. Welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. And once again, want to thank Amy Bruni and Adam Berry from Kindred Spirits in the Creaking Door. Brad, always great to have them in.
We've worked with so many people in the field over the years that we've done this. And you want to talk about two very legitimate, very down-to-earth people.
Oh, they're real people.
Amy and Adam, they are what you see on the show.
Absolutely.
This is not an act. They're not out there hyping things up. This is who they are. And that's what I love about both of them.
Exactly. And that's why, that's why it's so nice to have them back in and just sit down and chat, because what you hear and what you see, that is really them.
It is. Yeah. And for those of you that are fans of Kindred Spirits, let's get right down to it. They left us a handful of posters to give away. They both sat down, autographed them before they left Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan at this year's Paracon. And we will be sending these out within the next couple of weeks. I've got some travel coming up, but as soon as I get back, we will
send
get these done.
Out.
So,
all right.
Anyway, without further ado,
let's
just go. Laura in Shelby, Michigan, who entered. Laura, you will be receiving an autographed Kindred Spirits poster. Rose Maria from Naples, Italy. We have Michelle from Lancaster, Ohio. Deb from Sheboygan, Michigan. Donald from Blue Mountain, Colorado. Edward out of Massachusetts. Cindy from Chicago, Illinois, where we'll be in a few weeks here for the Chicago Ghost Con.
Sure will.
Shauna in Nelsonville, Ohio, and Kim in Zeeland, Michigan. Congratulations, guys. You will all be contacted by us shortly. We will get your mailing info, which we will not put on the air, and we will get those posters out to you, hopefully within the next couple weeks.
You mean John Tenney didn't win one?
John Tenney
we didn't
did not
John's
get
name.
Picked.
I saw he put his name in. I loved
Man,
it.
Yeah.
But thank you to everyone who entered. We did. We had hundreds of submissions, and this was all done randomly. And so thank you to everyone who entered. Congratulations to our winners, and of course be listening to more future episodes of the Creaking Door for giveaways and fun stuff like this.
Right.
So absolutely.
And if you're not following us on social media, make sure you do so.
Yep.
These were all picked through our Facebook page at Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, as well as our Twitter page.
Yes.
So these all came through that. We've been, if you hadn't seen it and you're, why didn't I hear about this? Well, it's been going on since within the last episode to this episode. Mm-hmm. So again, follow us on social media and keep up with this. More great giveaways coming up in the future.
And it's a very active page too. It's something that we like to share fun stories, interesting stories. We're not always saying we believe the stories we post, but we're saying they're fun.
They are.
So you can enjoy
and we
them
look
that
for
way.
That stuff. So, yeah.
Speaking of having fun, lots of travel coming up, Brad.
It is. As I said in the first segment, I'd just gotten back from Kentucky from the first Cryptid Con.
Mm-hmm.
Very well ran, very well put together, great speakers. Some good friends of the show that I got to hang out with there. As I mentioned earlier, Greg and Dana Newkirk were hanging out there with the Museum of the Paranormal and the Occult. Nick Groff, of course, was there. Got a lot of time to hang out and BS with Nick, and just all around great guy. Author Ronald Murphy, who we've had on the show, I had never met before. What a nice guy.
Yeah, we had a great interview with him.
Super intelligent, very much into the cryptid side and just anything weird, the goblin universe, as he calls it. And we will have Ron on the show next month talking about his latest book on vampires.
Looking forward to that.
And Cliff and Bobo from Finding Bigfoot. Oh, my God.
Which, of course, we just had them recently inside the Creighton Door.
Yes. And I had dinner with them the first night in, and then hanging out, having some drinks with those guys on the after party. And, man, some of the stuff that comes out of Bobo's mouth, you have to question if it's real or not. And then you stop and think, man, if this isn't real, how warped do you have to be to think these damn stories up? So just had a blast hanging out with those guys. So, again, that was CryptidCon. They're already planning the second one.
Yeah, I saw that so that's good to see.
Hopefully the same place next year. And I wish I would have had an extra day to spend in Frankfort, Kentucky. Just a beautiful town. A lot of old historic buildings.
Nice.
I believe it's Daniel Boone's grave is there.
Oh,
and
cool.
I had no time outside of the show to do any of this. So hopefully next year take an extra day. And I know we've already talked about recording live at that one.
Yeah, so we are actually in the works as we speak of building a brand new mobile studio.
Right.
So
hopefully we will have that on our next live appearance,
which will be Chicago.
Right. Chicago Ghost Con
coming up on October 7th. We will be in Chicago. Looking forward to that. Another great lineup. And
it is.
We'll be speaking and presenting, and we're hoping to have the new studio built and ready to go by then.
Yeah. And then as we mentioned with Amy, we will be presenting live on Mackinac Island, Michigan at the Strange Escapes. This is a full weekend event, including a Halloween costume party.
Yes.
And
do you have your costume yet?
I do not. Do you?
No, I don't.
I haven't even looked yet.
I'm always so bad about costumes, Halloween costumes.
I am too, and it's been so crazy lately with all between Paracon, hitting Kentucky. I'm leaving later this week for Sage Paracon over in England.
Yeah.
So I'm very much looking forward to that. Again, some other good friends of the show that are going to be there. Jeff Belanger, Greg Lawson, Robert Murch. I heard from Murch yesterday.
He was
going across today. He's actually spending 2 weeks over there.
That's right. He did say he was going to spend some time over there.
He's doing a vacation, so
good.
I'm supposed to meet up with him for a little bit of pub hopping on Thursday night.
Nice.
So, yeah, I got to holler at him when we get over there. But another great lineup. This is at a historic haunted castle in England, aren't they all, I guess?
Right.
But Warwick Castle, which is very well known amongst the royal historians. So hitting that, we'll get back. We'll hit Chicago less than 2 weeks after that, and then we're off to Strange Escapes on Mackinac Island a couple weeks after that. So
it's the whirlwind that is Halloween time.
Tis
for the paranormal. Exactly.
Tis the season for the paranormal
you
world.
You got it. Tis the season. So, so we're looking forward to it. Hopefully, if you are a listener of Creaking Door and you see us at any of those events, please come up, say hi. We love to talk to the people who listen. I believe you ran into someone in Kentucky.
A few people that listen to the show, and we weren't set up doing anything there. I was actually there helping out and just checking things out for the first annual and doing up a little report on it. And I had a few people that came up and mentioned that they listened to the show. They recognized me and had a really nice talk with a couple of them and had a few beverages with a couple of them.
A few.
So, gotta love Kentucky. And did I mention CryptidCon was sponsored by Jim Beam?
No,
it
but
was.
I saw pictures, which made me think. So, we got to figure out how to get that done for MI Paracon.
We do. Sponsored by Blatt's Brewing, maybe.
No.
Come on.
We can go higher than that.
No. There is no higher. A nice cold Blatt's and some ghost hunting and... There you go. Doesn't get any better than that.
If you give me the ghost hunting, I think I can choke down a blast.
Deal.
Good with it. All right.
Deal.
Good stuff. So I think that takes us to the end of another episode of Creaking Door. We could do mailbag, or we could let it go for this one.
Well, we had several interesting letters sent in. A couple of them were very questionable, I guess. We don't get me wrong. We enjoy reading the stories, but when it's something that we read on the internet a couple months ago,
right,
and it pops back in, it gets a little obvious after a bit. But no, we've had some great people writing in. We've had some great questions. Some of it gets a little repetitive, and we're running a little bit long tonight, so why don't we we'll hold her off and maybe double up on the next episode.
There you go. So if you have not listened before and you're wondering what this mailbag is, again, as Brad had alluded to, if you're not following us on social media, please do so. You can submit your question, your comment, whatever you want want to share with us on our Facebook page. You can send it privately or you can post it on the wall. And then we like to take our favorites and share with them mailbag during the last segment here. But we will bypass this week and get back to it next week for sure. So I guess that's going to do it, Brad. We'll get things wrapped up here, get the studio cleaned up. We left it a mess, as we always do.
And it's great to be back.
It really
is.
It's
great to be back after that short break. Listen, hopefully we will be, the next episode will be live from Chicago GhostCon.
It's our hope.
Hopefully, if our studio parts and pieces and such come in and we can get the...
And the engineers can get it running the way we need it to.
And we can get the tin foil and the antennas up. So, yeah, hopefully that. Some great shows lined up for y'all coming this fall. Keep listening.
Yes.
Keep listening. Keep following us on social media. Creaking Door Paranormal Radio.
We'll keep you updated there with everything.
Where creepy is cool.
That's right. Creepy is cool. That's why we like it. So there we go. On behalf of Brad Blair, our co-host, myself, Tim Ellis, and all the engineers who make this show possible, thank you for tuning in for another edition of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
A Creaking Door.